time.
NBA playoffs is going to be amazing.
It's too bad it takes 2.5 months.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Jumper Murray. Got it! The horn!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. Do we have a replay center? It doesn't make sense to me.
Today's guests, two-time Emmy Award-winning actor Jeff Daniels, Fox Sports College football insider Bruce Feldman, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah, baby, that's correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. It's our last of the week here in Los Angeles. As soon as this show is over, we're heading to LAX. We're flying to Detroit. No one's going to stop us. No one's going to stop us. We got 3 days of shows from the home of the National Football League draft in the great football-loving state of Michigan. Obviously, you know, me being an Ann Arbor guy, I have nothing but excitement for going to the state of Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, for the first ever draft held there. And the Lions have been on fire the last couple of years. It's going to be great. Guys, we're going to feel that heartbeat of that city.
Let's go.
And as if that's not going to be evident enough when we get there. Jeff Daniels is in our green room right now. A Man in Full is an outstanding 6-part series that is coming up based on the brilliant Tom Wolfe novel from back in the day. It starts streaming next week. Next Thursday on Netflix, which you can see here on Roku. He's a diehard Lion fan. He's one of Central Michigan's finest. He's going to be joining us in studio in short order. First up on this program, and then Bruce Feldman of The Athletic's going to join us. He has a mock draft out that just came out, and the latest individual who is plugged in, who has spoken to a ton of unnamed executive scouts and coaches. That's the way things go in an NFL draft. A lot of chatter in the NFL draft from people who don't put their name on stuff. Very, very fun for us to start diving into that. Albert Breer will join us in hour number three to see if there's any real validity to the insane amount of draft trade talk that's burning up the wires right now.
Yes.
And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices known to man. We're on over 70 terrestrial radio affiliates across the country listening to us live. Sirius XM, Odyssey streamers out there. We say hello to you, our podcast listeners. It's your God-given right to listen to whenever you darn well please. So we say hello to you. Good to see you on this Tuesday, Christopher.
Rich,
how are you?
What's happening?
Mike Del Tufo, our executive. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit, is it not?
Candle's lit, but the light inside my soul went out when Dante DiVincenzo hit that three.
Hey, listen, the big ragu's got a big three-pointer. Listen, we talked yesterday about how disappointing the first games of the first round of the NBA playoffs were. It looks just like, you know, that engine just took a little bit to turn over, took a little bit of time to finally start revving, with all due respect to the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. Place that game aside. Cavs are up 2-0. Place that game aside. The double dip on Turner last night. Knicks Sixers, Lakers Nuggets. Now that's what we're talking about. Because it had everything. Had a little bit of everything. We had a buzzer beater. We had the defending NBA champs on the ropes at home. It looked like the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis were about to draw finally some blood on a home team in these playoffs. And we saw Jamal Murray rip out the Lakers' heart and show it to them pumping with a fadeaway jumper as the buzzer went off in Denver. Jamal Murray fading away over the 7-foot-tall Anthony Davis to win the basketball game that the Lakers had led by double digits. Step back jumper indeed. And this guy couldn't make a shot all game, had 14 points in the fourth quarter. So there you have it. And believe it or not, the stat that we have at the bottom of our Roku channel feed, first game-winning buzzer beater in the playoff history of the Denver Nuggets.
Oh.
How about them apples on that front? And that was after the Sixers and the Knicks had at it in Madison Square Garden, and the Knicks pulled a Reggie Miller on somebody else in that building for a change, where it looked like a multiple possession lead for the opponent was going to hold up. And some craziness on an inbounds play led to back-to-back threes, and suddenly the game flipped in a matter of seconds. As Dante DiVincenzo, the big ragu, one of the Nova Knicks, as they're being referred to, helped overcome a late-game deficit and helped shock the Sixers, who looked like they could hold Jalen Brunson down again. But Brunson makes his first three of the night by shooting a three-pointer, and the ball hits the front of the rim, it seemed, and somehow popped straight up in the air and landed through the basket.
Home bounce. Ugh. Shooter's bounce.
Hey, at least it was only one hop this time, TJ, not like Kawhi over Embiid back in the day. Yikes. And then the inbounds pass where Tyrese Maxey had two Knicks draped all over him. Josh Hart did the hands up, I didn't touch him type move that usually does indicate.
Yeah, he touched him.
A physical contact did actually occur. Guys on the floor, it's wild how either A, that wasn't a foul, B, it wasn't a travel on Maxey, because if he goes down and... isn't that a travel? Or C, there wasn't a timeout awarded to him, because it seems like a bunch of Sixers, including the head coach, made the international symbol of timeout.
Yeah.
It wasn't awarded. And DiVincenzo launches a three and misses. Isaiah Hartenstein comes up with one of the million offensive rebounds the Knicks have gotten through the first two games of this series. On the floor, gets it to OG Anunoby, who gets it to DiVincenzo at the top of the arc, and that one was dead solid perfect. Sixers had one last shot at it. Hartenstein with a huge block
on Maxey.
On Maxey, yeah. And it wound up in the hands of Embiid, who I thought was going to jar that three, but it went off the back of the iron, and the Knicks survive by going up 2-0 with two of, I think, Brunson's worst back-to-back games of the year. And the action was intense, surpassed only by some post-game press conference gems. Starting with LeBron, who thought he was fouled going to the basket to put the Lakers up two, didn't get an and one. Even if he did make the free throw, though, Murray's two would have just put them up by one to win it, as opposed to win it by two. But that said, LeBron did miss a three prior to Murray getting the ball and winning the basketball game with the first ever buzzer beater in Denver Nuggets playoff history. But that did not deter LeBron, who was not just focused on not getting his own call after the game.
I don't understand what's going on in replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the fuck do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. Makes no sense to me. It bothers me. I'm sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
And speaking of the Sixers Knicks game, this is what Joel Embiid had to say at his locker after the game about the officiating towards the end of that contest.
Unacceptable. Tyrese got fouled, a couple times. You know, we just had the same thing happen against Miami with Tyler. You know, that's just unacceptable to, put us in that situation. That's unacceptable to lose a game like this, especially in the playoffs. So,
F-bombs flying. Whew. And then, of course, the question was put to Anthony Davis afterwards about what happened on the final buzzer beater. that Murray stepped back and shot it over the seven-footer, who is already ornery because he was not named a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. Check that out.
Well, can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
And that's it. See ya. Mic drop.
That's amazing. I mean, that is what happened. In fairness.
Yeah,
I mean,
and, you know.
That's a Magic Johnson tweet.
He would tweet that out. Hey, NBA playoff action. It's finally arrived. Took a couple days, but it has finally arrived. Just in terms of LeBron talking about what the replay center is up to.
Oh, Magic just tweeted 2 minutes ago.
Well, here's the deal. Because the replay center is not going to buzz in like the NFL in the last 2 minutes of a game. It's just not going to buzz in. And the league is not going to allow it to buzz in because they could buzz in every play, correct? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think?
It's like holding in the NFL.
I totally
less than
get
NFL holding.
Hey, but yeah. TJ, yeah, I totally get you as a Sixer fan would have major issues with the way that that ended. But however, okay.
But you know, as we talked about before the show, I'm not blaming that.
No. Hey.
The Sixers gave up that lead.
Lowry missed a free throw. He could have been up six
and then
with that trip down the court for the Knicks.
He rushed the inbound pass in, something that a veteran point guard should never have done. I mean, I'm not going to put that on.
Because the Sixers are all, well, part of the reason why Brunson isn't having a very good first two games is they are all over him the minute that he they inbounds from their own, from the Knicks' own end line.
Yeah, they're
it's 40 minutes of hell that they're giving him. Similar to, you know, what I'm saying, a full court press.
Yeah.
Little Arkansas Razorback back in the day.
Nolan Richardson.
Seriously, like they're all over him. And you could call foul everywhere. And I had a problem over the weekend. The Knicks had an inbound, had a possession awarded to Philadelphia when the ball went off the Sixers. Knicks challenge it and get the ball back because the refs blew the call, but they lost their timeout. They had only one timeout remaining for like the fourth quarter of their game one victory. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Refs blow it. You have to use a timeout to challenge. You get it right and you lose your timeout. And I got people saying the game's long enough. Too many timeouts as it is. Yeah, well, maybe the association should do is get together, figure out maybe there's a couple fewer TV timeouts of some sort, make the game a little quicker at the beginning. So at the end, you know, you do have a little bit better of an eye on the sky on it, or game's long enough towards the last 2 minutes of a game.
Yeah, I don't know if we can. Games long enough because you want to get it right.
You want to get it right, so. But couldn't you call foul on pretty much any play in the last 30 seconds of a game? It was like a brawl.
It was an old school 90s
Eastern Conference playoff basketball game.
I kind of liked it with no skin in the game.
So that's the issue. Is I guess the refs have to be better on the spot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. LeBron's the one who brought up the replay center. Unless he's saying one of those moments were challenged and they got it wrong. I'm just saying how he's referring to what he saw at the end of the Sixers-Lakers game. I mean, Sixers-Knicks game. That's the way it was back, you know, in the old 80s and 90s in the Eastern Conference. I mean, speaking of which, I think guy who's a Pistons fan is about to come out here. Sure, he saw a lot of the bad boys, Jeff Daniels.
Mm-hmm. They were a little bit physical.
But all I know is the NBA playoffs have arrived, everybody.
Yeah, that was a great night last night.
Oh, and Magic has tweeted?
Yeah, just now in the last couple minutes.
Okay, what did he have to say about it? Yeah. We've got it right here. The chat.
Chat EMJ.
EMJ. Last night I was so devastated I couldn't even tweet. That's why he couldn't tweet.
And a broken heart.
An unbelievable shot emoji by Jamal Murray. An outstanding comeback by the Nuggets. All right, so that was that one. And there you go. Lakers have nobody but to blame but themselves. They did everything they're supposed to do but win the game. AD and LeBron both did their part. They got scoring help from Russell, and they still lost. So what do they have to blame for themselves? You just glossed over that part. He yada-yada'd that?
Yada-yada lost it. Okay. I'm worried about Magic's broken heart.
Don't be.
So sad.
Don't be, man. He's going to have Jaden Daniels in two nights. Don't worry about it.
Maybe.
He's going to.
That's true.
And we'll talk about that with Jay Albert Daniels Brewer in hour three. Like, we'll talk about that with Bruce Feldman in hour number two. But let's take a break because we got Jeff Daniels in our green room. Yeah. It's time to bring him out. A Man in Full is coming to Netflix next week right here on Roku. But on the Roku channel next, the man himself, who is in full. Jeff Daniels next on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, our radio audience is gone for the next couple minutes, so let's sneak in a clip right now of A Man in Full, available for streaming next week on Thursday on Netflix. The man himself, Jeff Daniels, is here on the show. Good to see you, Jeff. How are you, sir?
Great, Rich. Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled that you are here. All right.
Please.
Yes, yeah, no.
Stay seated.
This is hold your applause till after the clip, because it's worthy as well. This is A Man in Full off of the fantastic Tom Wolfe novel from back in the day. Jeff Daniels on Netflix starting next week.
Planet's bank stands to lose $500 million in write-offs at least. I suspect your boss directed you to find some common ground.
Having a bit of trouble hearing you at this distance. Want to crawl on over and whisper it in my ear?
I bet the both of you just love to go back to Arthur and say, gee, we tried, but the bastard done challenged us to a fist fight in the parking lot. Which is why you baited me. Calling my wife a bimbo. Trophy. Well, guess what? My better judgment, which I don't typically call upon, says don't give you the satisfaction. That's exactly what I'm gonna do, Harry. You have a choice to make. I'm either gonna kick your ass in the parking lot, or I'll do so right here in this conference room.
Well, I'll be. You challenge me like that on one good wheel. That's what I call a drop tailgate.
I'm out there, man. I'm out there. It's so much fun. This was so much fun to do. Because, you know, acting is supposed to, film acting, it's supposed to be less is more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put on a cowboy hat, you look off at the Rocky Mountains, and you count to 10 because you know there's going to be music under it. And you just do that. This ain't that. This is. I got to tell you what, and you just go big on it. And apparently, I got away with it.
Yeah, well, you certainly did. A Man in Full, available next week, starting Thursday, May 2nd, only on Netflix. 6-episode limited series on the late Tom Wolfe novel. Jeff Daniels starring in a fantastic cast. Also, 3 episodes directed by one of our favorites, Regina King, as well. And that was fun just to watch that.
The whole thing was fun.
You were laughing during that, just
yes,
watching yourself.
Because I remember the day we had Tom Pelfrey, who was there, and Bill Camp, who I've known forever. And it was just the 3 of us. And I said to the guys, I'm going big. Mm-hmm. I'm going out on a limb with this. Don't leave me out there. And they went with me. And it was great fun. It was great fun.
So I'll be straight up with you. I mean, I had not thought of A Man in Full in a while. I mean, I read it a long time ago. So how did this come about for A Man in Full to be put in Netflix and in front of you?
David E. Kelly wrote all six episodes.
And I've heard of him.
Regina yes. King was directing along with Tommy Schlamme. And so right there, you got the people.
Yeah.
And they came to me and said, we're doing this. I was unaware of the book. So once I said yes, I grabbed it and read it. Mm-hmm. It's relevant to today. Charlie Croker, who is a bigger-than-life real estate tycoon in Atlanta. This is in the late 90s, but we've kind of updated it to now.
Mm-hmm.
Basically builds buildings on the bank's money. And he owes about $800 million in loans and things like that. But he keeps buying a private plane and buying a quail plantation mm-hmm. and spending way too much money on other things. And the bank basically, which is what the season, part of that scene was they call him in. They go, we're calling the note. You owe $800 million by Tuesday. Ooh. And so then that over the six episodes, we find, Charlie just scrambling to, justify the fact that he's worth as much as people think he is. Which is
heard this story is
to today.
Making a note and stuff like that.
Just generally speaking.
Ripped straight from the headlines in a way. And so, again, that's on Netflix, which is available right here on Roku. Jeff Daniels here in studio. And for full disclosure, you're here in town doing some work and you have to stay in town this week because originally we were slated to have you on our show in Detroit.
Which I was really looking forward
which,
to.
Which, I mean, we were as well, because, I mean, an NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan, as the Lions are seemingly a rocket ship. I wouldn't say cresting, because that would mean that there's maybe no higher peak than the one that they currently have. But it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Detroit is so cranked for the draft. They are rolling out the red carpet. They are beautifying the city. Everybody's going to be there. I got a son-in-law and my boys are going, we should go down for the draft, go down and just experience it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a great thing for the city. Detroit is a football town. At the end of the day, I mean, the Tigers, the Red Wings, the Pistons, yes. But the Lions, and you saw it last year, the frenzy around the Lions' success and that build-up to getting into the playoffs and then going into the playoffs a little deeper, I mean, we were out of our minds. And I know Sheila Hamp a little bit, and mm-hmm. I said, when you guys get there, mm-hmm. it's going to be unlike anything that any of the other teams have done. It's going to overtake us because it's a football city at the end of the day, I think.
The roar has been restored. I think we can at least say that at this point in time.
Yeah, Campbell and Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes and what Sheila has done, they have really just turned that organization upside down over the last 3 years. And the success they had last year was, I think, a year earlier than they thought. But they are on a long-range plan of being one of those teams that stays good, just doesn't have a year, and then they're gone. I mean, that's what I see, is that they are really trying to, be good for five or longer years.
Well, I mean, it's kind of fitting that the draft is in Detroit, based on what you just said, Jeff, because the year early, I think, arrived because of how well they drafted last year. And Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell and that
tight end. I can still hear the people screaming about Gibbs. I can still hear him screaming. You did what?
I know.
You did what?
And apparently they beat several teams to the punch on drafting him. Yeah. That there were a couple others that were just like,
really?
Okay, he's going to drop. He's going to drop because everybody's talking about Bijan Robinson, and he's going to just fall to us. And the Lions beat a ton of teams to the punch. And he is just unbelievable.
I watched. I was at the last playoff game, the Tampa Bay game, and I was watching. And they got it out to Gibbs in the flat, and this happened. He got it, and shoom, he was over here.
Mm-hmm.
He was 10 yards. Just that quickness of speed, and the defender was waving.
Gone.
And he was certainly in a defensive position to get him, and then he was over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was something, that kind of speed and quickness.
So how loud was it in that building? Because that's all everyone was talking about, is how crazy it was in Ford Field for these playoff games.
It's been loud. But in the Tampa Bay game, the game we won before we went to San Francisco, that last minute and a half, Baker Mayfield had the ball on his 15 or something, made a completion, okay. And then he threw the interception. Was it Blades, I think? He made the interception that basically sealed it for us. When he caught it, it was like a movie. On cue, I want all 65,000 of you to scream the word, yeah, that. And I was actually had my phone. And I was going, well, this will be fun. I'll put it on the voice memo and just record the last 2 minutes audio just for me.
Yeah.
And when that happened, it was as if someone had cued the entire stadium to say that word, go.
Yeah.
And it just, you felt the roof lift. It was so, and it was, you know, you've heard people scream and you know, generically and a whole bunch of that. But the one same word, 65,000 people. That happened.
It's better. It's probably better than the word that you used to say in unison in that stadium, right? Or
yes.
All those years in the Silverdome.
I've heard that too.
I'm sure it, 65,000 all at once.
Yeah, yeah.
Or probably 80,000. Or probably eight.
Yeah.
I remember some of those days in the Silverdome.
It was a lot of decades where that was the lead word.
Which is why everybody was just sort of exhaling at the same time last year. I think it was Derek Barnes who was the one who came up with that pick, because he's the one who whiffed on Dak Prescott in that Dallas Cowboy game that everybody thought was the one that screwed the Lions out of their best chance to get to where they eventually wound up.
He atoned. He redeemed himself.
Right.
Totally redeem yourself. I mean, he did. He did it. He did it. So, still there. Still there.
That's amazing.
Jeff Daniels here giving the people what they want on the Rich Eisen Show. Greatly appreciate that. Yeah. And so what is it like, though, watching Dan Campbell make some of these decisions?
Well, you know, it's what got us there. You know, going forward on fourth down.
Right.
And you're not going to hit them all.
But he's always at Spinal Tap 11 here. You know what I mean?
Like, yes,
like we could find a different volume. You know what
is.
I mean? Like, you could dial it down to 9.
I know. I don't know enough about football to know what the percentages are of going for it now.
Right.
But, we're all just, when he's going, you know, and he's going for it, and you're up off the couch, and you're walking, and you're waiting, and you're doing this. You know, you're doing all that. But look, he's dangerous. If you're the opposing team, the opposing coach, he's dangerous. And other coaches have followed that. You know, I mean, I come up in the era on fourth down going for it. No.
Never.
Ever.
Now everybody does it. It's kind of crazy.
And I think Dan's kind of, you know, led the way on that.
Well, he did it in the opener in Kansas City in his own end, I believe on like the second possession of the season.
Yes.
In Mahomes' house. They just raised the banner.
Yeah.
So there is a track record, understood.
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of it's got to be just cool just seeing the team the way it is.
I'm so hopeful. When they went to San Francisco, my theory is at halftime, if they had been, I think they were up 10, 14.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If they had been tied or down 3 or down 7, they'd have stayed there. But I think they came out of the locker room, and that's when they realized they're 30 minutes away from the Super Bowl. And it's not fear of failure. I thought it was fear of success.
You think so, huh?
Yeah. I mean, look. They immediately tightened up, and next thing you know, we're tied. And
well, also that play where it got popped up. I think that was Blades, right? The one was popped up in the air and went right to Ayuk.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a photograph.
Where's that in the playbook? I don't see that.
There's a photograph that we had. I don't know if we were. We'll try to call it up where the ball was actually surrounded in the arms of the Lions defender. And it's mind-blowing that that winds up in the arms of Ayuk. Sorry to go down that rabbit hole.
Those are the players that...
It was Vildor, that's right. Vildor. I mean, like, I don't know how that doesn't...
There's all of that. But yeah. I don't think it's like, oh, and then we're crushed and now we're just going to be a mediocre team. I think the guys had to go through that.
Right.
And now when they get there again, it's not going to be the first time or even the second time. It's going to be, we know how to handle it now. It's like Broadway. When you have an opening night and it's your first one, it's the Super Bowl. It's the stage actor's Super Bowl. And you try to survive it. And you know that all the critics are out there and all the whatever are out there. And you get through it. And then the second opening night on a different production,
yeah.
Keep up. It is. You keep up with me.
And now
that's the second one. You can't do it on the first one.
Right.
But the second one, I'm hopeful that Campbell and company and the players in particular, you know, they're young. We'll go, we've been here before. We're not going to let it slip away again.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I'm a Lions fan. That's what you hope for.
Well, I got Jeff Daniels here on the Rich Eisen Show again. A Man in Full, available for streaming next week on Netflix, 6-episode limited series. So one of the things I love about the draft traveling is you go to different towns. And when the rivals of the local town gets put on the clock, there's booze. Now, back in the day when it was in Radio City, the Jets or the Giants or the hometown, so when the Eagles were on the clock, the Cowboys were on the clock, lusty booze. Which team, when they go on the clock in Detroit, will get the loudest booze, do you think? Jeff Daniels, what do you think?
Certainly everybody in our division.
But which one do you think will have the
well, which
the
one
brio, the particular brio from
now,
the crowd
which
here?
One is the threat? I mean, the Vikings are, do they have a quarterback?
They have Sam Darnold again, but I'm with you.
Outstanding. Do they have, the Bears? We're giving up on Justin Fields. We're going to draft a rookie. And mm-hmm. So they're, you know, are they really, who else is
the
in our
Packers.
And the Packers. I think it's the Packers, not just because of Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Whom we beat on his way out of town a couple seasons ago.
Yes,
thanks.
You did.
Enjoy the Jets. See you later. But Jordan loves playing, and they're. I think they're
ruined your Thanksgiving, and it's so close to playing them in the playoffs too.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I
close.
Think that's the rivalry, but just because the Packers feel like the team that's closer to having turned it around post Aaron Rodgers and are going to be a factor next year.
So the
I'm going to say Packers.
Packers on the clock. That'll be the loudest.
Yeah. You won't be able
booze.
To hear them announce whoever the hell they're picking because we don't care at the end of the day anyway.
I love it, man. Fantastic. So I've asked you this before, but I'll ask it again because it's the first time that you're here in studio. When you walk around and people see you, which is the movie or play or anything that you get from like,
depends on the person.
Okay.
Certainly, Dumb and Dumber is a big hit.
Okay.
You know, internationally, and pick an airport. Oh my God, Dumb and Dumber! Oh my God. Yeah. You know, and there's Newsroom, and there's Gettysburg, and you know,
sure.
You get those people. You know, because of Winn-Dixie, which is a little family movie that I. You know, was very happy to get paid for.
Sure.
Was going, Winn-Dixie was, my God, I grew up on that. I'm going, okay.
How about Speed?
Speed, yeah.
You get that a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I was the guy back in the office, you know, going, Speed. I remember getting the script, and they said, and I died on page 22. I died in the elevator shaft.
Oh.
And I said, you know, the career's in trouble, but it's not in that much trouble. I'm going to pass. So And the agent said, hang on, there's another draft coming. You die later. I said, okay. And, and it did. It came in about, you know, page 80.
So you gained 60-something pages.
I did. Okay. I'm going, well, okay, all right, I'll do it. And Keanu and Sandy Bullock, and, you know, it was like, okay, happy to do it. And I get into that house, and we're in somewhere near here, I think, somewhere south of L.A., and I've got full SWAT gear on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 80 pounds of whatever. And I got to crawl in through a little window and look like Harrison Ford doing it. And I'm like, catching on the window frame and all that. I finally get in. And the moment in Speed is I've got to turn and look at the thermostat and understand that that's not a thermostat. That's a timer for a bomb. And it's 3, 2, 1 and about to blow up.
Mm.
And so I'm going, how am I going to do that? I'm not going to... Do I make faces? Do I, you know, what? Do I cry? What do I do? And I remembered an interview that Roy Scheider did for Jaws. And they asked Roy, that moment, Roy, when you saw the shark, my God, I mean, one of the great acting moments in cinematic history, how did you do that? And Roy said, well, I looked down, and when I looked over at the shark, I made sure my cheeks muscles were a little up, and then I just dropped them. So I said, that's what I'll do. So I looked at the thermostat. Cut! Lunch.
Lunch!
And I have gotten critics. That moment in Speed. Jeff? I mean, I get emotional talking about it. You know, and I'm going, yes. Yeah, well, Roy Scheider.
I love that story.
Great story.
Oh, my gosh. And it's funny you say that it was right around here because the 105's right up.
Some little house that they rented.
Because the 105 freeway was right just, it wasn't completed yet. And that's when, right here, this freeway that's right here.
Yeah, it was
that
somewhere.
That was one that was
here.
Used in Speed.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And Jack Nicholson just turned 87 yesterday, by
God
the way.
God bless that man.
Did Love you him. Have any interaction with him on the set of Terms
A little
of
bit,
Jeremy?
Yeah. He was so nice to me. When we did Terms of Endearment, we got Jack, and that legitimized the whole movie. And I remember on the set and being the last actor to walk over and meet him. Deborah said, have you met Jack? No, I'm 28 years old. I don't know anything. He goes, come here. And she dragged me over and she said, Jack. Jack said, what have you done? Well, you know, I've done done some Broadway, some off-Broadway. And, you know, and he was very kind. He said, well, this ain't Broadway. This is the pro game.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. And I'm, thank you. What would you like in your coffee? And so but he was right in that the money involved, the that can happen. When they put the camera on you at 4 a.m. at your beach and we're losing light, you got to hit it. All of that. That was the great light. You don't get 8 shows a week to refine it and all that. It's now. So that made sense. Decades later, I'm doing God of Carnage, which was a play on Broadway with James Gandolfini and Hope Davis, Marcia Gay Harden. We were the hit of New York. And Jack came.
Huh.
And he came backstage and he said, I can't do what you guys are doing.
Really?
Yeah, which was a very humble thing for him to say. And I thanked him for coming and all of that. And then we did God of Carnage again out in L.A. about a year or so later at the Omnison Theater. And same cast. And he came again. And he came backstage and we talked a little bit. And then he was leaving and he turned around and he said, I'm proud of you. And left.
Come on.
Whoa. Yeah.
That had a really hit
home. I think, you know, and I had done interviews where I said, you know, this is the pro game. I had told that story.
Uh-huh.
But Jack coming back and saying to me meant the world. It's the review you hope to get from somebody that actually matters.
Jack?
Yeah.
One of the few people you say his first name, you know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Jeff Daniels, you're the man. Thanks for coming here today. Congrats in advance of A Man in Full. Again, check it out starting next week right here on the Roku platform through Netflix. 6-episode limited series. Diane Lane, Tom Pelfrey, who's been here as well. He's awesome. Lucy Liu, just to name some in the cast. Regina King directing. David E. Kelly, showrunner and the writer and the executive producer. Thomas Schlamme also directing. Congrats, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Rich. What a great opportunity to have you here. And I will say hello to Detroit for
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy Detroit. They're waiting for you.
Are your family members going to go to the draft? Are they going to do that?
I believe there's talk, yeah.
Okay. There's chatter?
They're just chatter at this point, okay. But they might.
Very good. Well, we'll talk about it. But hope to see them. And
free
great
parking?
You
can get them parking?
No, that's Monopoly, sir.
Okay. All right.
This is the national football. This is the pro game.
I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah.
Jeff Daniels, check out again A Man in Full on Netflix. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
My favorite guests, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting right here.
I think you are. What are you on, steroids or something?
I am actually on steroids, Bryan Cranston. Last Flag Flying in select theaters now.
We're going to have to disqualify this show because of your steroid use.
You know what? I thought about that before taking that steroid.
Now, wouldn't it be disheartening if you took the steroid and you had the best show ever? Then you'd go, oh my God, oh, I have to take more steroids. How can you go off the steroids?
Since you and I last spoke here on this show, your Dodgers went to the World Series.
There was that five-hour game that went in. That was insane.
It was insane. I am proud to say I stuck around to extra innings for that night. I did see some people in this town, people that you would know, people that we have all seen on television.
Look, call them out.
I can't do it.
Do it.
I can't.
You're on steroids. What the hell do you care?
I do have that as a fallback position, do I not? But I would never do that to you.
It is. Your Honor, I was on steroids at the time when I made that comment.
When somebody from Arrested Development got up.
Yes.
But,
Jason Bateman.
No,
you've been had. In your face, Jason.
There's a lot of people.
I'm disappointed, Jason.
Will Arnett.
Wow. But it wasn't.
It just amazes me seeing in Breaking Bad and in Better Call Saul the number of characters whose demise eventually is met because of your character.
Me?
I know exactly. It is remarkable.
I unfortunately have that association. If I spend any amount of time with someone, they end up dying surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest you get life insurance. You know, you want to protect your family.
Yeah, everything you do that. Okay.
Sorry.
Bryan Cranston's many appearances on our YouTube page. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I love every second of that conversation.
That was so great, man. So great. What a story by Jack.
About you talking about?
It's the pro game.
It's the pro game, man. Oh, I've done Broadway, off Broadway. You know, this is the pro game.
Yeah. That's funny.
He's done so much, man.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Little movies like a lot of people wouldn't remember, but there was a movie called Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael back in the day with Winona Ryder. Remember that, Mike?
Yeah.
He was in that and, you know, Something Wild. With Melanie Griffith.
The Purple Rose of Cairo was right in the middle of Woody Allen's remarkable run of movies. Remember that he played a silent movie character that came off the screen?
Yes.
Remember that?
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah. That was a heck of a movie. Heck of a movie. And this one's going to be great too.
I mean, he dropped a Dumb and Dumber line. Yeah, I mean, what are we
by the
way,
you guys shot up in your chairs.
They're like, we had Louis Christmas in the studio, bro. Like,
what are we going to do? Whoa.
Totally redeemed.
Harry,
it took a split second to go, wait, did he
just
said
and he's
used
like,
that about Derek Barnes, right? Yeah. Is that what he was saying?
Still
right?
in there.
Oh my God. So funny. It's amazing that we're going to the draft and the NFL draft appears to be set up to have three quarterbacks taken in a row to start, and there's a serious chance of four in a row. I mean, there is a serious chance. As I'm sitting here right now, 2 hours before we're heading to the airport, 2 days before we get the answers, it does appear Caleb Williams is going to go first and Jaden Daniels is going to go second. Where is how crazy it is. The 72-hour period from when I walked off this set on Friday and showed up back on this set on Monday to go on the air and say how the rumor mill was off the charts and how Jaden Daniels was trying to work his way out of D.C. because he doesn't, you know, it's not as much of him not liking the Commanders, but what I heard, no. What I heard is he just loves Antonio Pierce.
Oh, okay.
Loves Antonio Pierce from, you know, I guess AP was on, you know, was on the staff in Arizona State and they've known each other for a long time, or he vibed with the Vikings, or that's all just a bunch of garbage. And the only time we've heard from the kid prior to, I guess, was he in the Shannon Sharpe's club on a podcast.
Yeah, Club Shay Shay.
And so he has said nothing but I'm excited to play for whoever drafts me. And the conversation is that the Commanders love Drake May. They love Drake May, and he loved the prospect of Palooza. He had a good time there.
Yeah, he was with Kevin Clark this week and talked about how J.J. McCarthy was maybe the best golfer, but I hit it pretty well, too.
Well, and at this point in time, we're going to get ready at this very juncture tomorrow on Wednesday's show. We're ready to have J.J. McCarthy on our set.
Boom.
So as of this very moment... After all of that chatter, now I'm hearing it's Jaden Daniels second overall and just move on. Just like I heard at the Combine. Move on.
All these things you heard at the Combine have come to fruition.
Well, so far.
Trey Lance was the only one.
You got a high percentage is what I'm saying.
Trey Lance was the only one.
The one where Trey Lance is going to be the plan B for the Vikings if they don't have Kirk Cousins.
But they got Sam Darnold, former 49er quarterback, as it were.
Correct?
Yeah.
What? Wrong? Right church? Wrong pew?
Yeah, exactly.
Got pew, it.
Pew, pew, pew. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Nicely done.
After the quarterback.
And then I think the Patriots 100% take Drake May. I mean that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Shrug emoji.
100% going to happen.
And I'm down for that. I'm down for Marvin Harrison.
And I just don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be anything but an Arizona Cardinal. When it all comes down to it, the Cardinals are going to, you know, they got 11 draft choices as it is. Just use their first one on the guy who's a consensus, not unanimous, as you'll hear from Bruce Feldman shortly. Pick is the best receiver in the draft. And then we'll see what this Chargers do here in L.A., but bring it all up by saying it's entirely possible we have four quarterbacks going in a row, and it's amazing that this draft happens 3 years after we saw three quarterbacks going in a row last time we saw that. And the first guy taken, Trevor Lawrence, won a playoff game and had an injury-marred season last year, quite frankly, after going, they were the one seed after 11 weeks. He gets hurt, and then he has an up-and-down season. There's no other way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries may have had a role in it, and we just throw his rookie season out because that was the Urban Meyer thing. But the two other guys taken right after him, no longer on their original team, after Zach Wilson traded yesterday. It's kind of wild. Four out of the five quarterbacks taken in the first round, all of them in the first half of the first round, four of them after the first one in Trevor Lawrence, all on different teams right now. All of them. Zach Wilson taken second overall by the Jets, traded 2 days before the 3 days before the 2024 NFL draft, 3 years later for a pick swap. Late round. Seventh round, the Jets send a seventh round with Zach Wilson. They get a sixth back. Trey Lance, last year, before the season, traded to the Cowboys for a fourth round selection. The Cowboys are going to give that one up. The Niners are going to use that on Saturday, unless they trade it. And what the Niners gave up to get Trey Lance, they gave up three first rounders, the one in that draft, and two future ones, and a third rounder.
Oh, wow. Just to get back and forth.
Mac Jones gets traded for a sixth round pick this year, you know, in March. And the Patriots will use that on Saturday, unless they trade it. And then Justin Fields. The Bears gave up for Justin Fields in that draft. They gave up a fifth round selection along with the first rounder, and then a first and a fourth the next year.
Oof. Oh.
And wind up only getting a sixth round draft choice for him in next year's draft. The Bears won't be using the draft choice that they got from the Steelers this year at all. It could be a fourth, depending on playing time in Pittsburgh. Now, none of this is to say that your team that is quarterback needy should not take one in the first round. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to see six go. If I had to predict right now, we're going to see six go. There's more quarterback needy teams than there are quarterbacks with a first round grade or first-ish round grade. And that's just the way it is in the NFL. Yeah. Even with this as a possible cautionary tale, canary in a coal mine, everybody's just going to say, we like the kid. We think he's got an upside. We can coach him. We're taking him. We are not passing up on him because Zach Wilson didn't work out in New York. That's a New York problem. That's a Zach Wilson problem. Not an MP. Not a my problem.
That's a YP.
That is 1,000,000% the way it goes in the NFL, and I don't think it will ever, ever change. But I think it's wild that this is what's happened just 3 years later, and we're about to see it again. And nothing's going to ever change it. Nothing will change it.
Even the 49ers nearly winning a Super Bowl with the last pick?
Even with the 49ers being able to say, We
have a super team around.
We gave up all that draft capital for a guy because they gave up, out of everybody on that screen that we just showed, the Niners gave up the most to draft that player. They got the most back, which is a fourth rounder in this year's draft.
Yeah.
And the Bears gave up the second most and got the least, which is not even a draft choice in this year's draft. And then the Jets and the Patriots are kind of tied here. But the Jets use the highest draft choice. And the crazy thing is, for the Niners, usually that's what gets everybody fired. But they made the Super Bowl last year, and they were a Super Bowl contender the year before, the year that Lance was supposed to be their starter, and an injury cost his chance. Which is another reason why a team says, well, you know what? They didn't have the right circumstance. He got hurt. Or in the case with the Jets, they're the Jets. And they're like, screw it. We're taking Drake May, 1,000,000%. We're taking Jaden Daniels, 1,000,000%. We're taking Penix. We're taking Nix. We're taking J.J. McCarthy. And the Bears are 100% taking who they're taking. Bruce Feldman coming up.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.